He is Jalen Rose. I'm David Jacoby. We are Jalen and Jacoby. Jalen, what is it that we do?
We give the people what they want.
Jalen, we have Kyrie Irving sneak dissing LeBron James. We have Doc Rivers as the coach of the 76ers. But we start with the big game tonight, game two of the NBA Finals. Goran Dragic and Bam Adebayo are both doubtful. I doubt Goran will make a go. So, Jalen, as we look at game two with a depleted Miami Heat, what did you see in game one that you wanted to see change in game two?
Not only did they get depleted during the game, as you mentioned, a couple of injuries that they sustained, but I was watching the game and realized the tall ball Lakers had a distinct advantage as it related to height and physicality. When I was looking at their point guard that's 35 years old that led the NBA in assists named LeBron James, and I figured that he's the same size basically as Bam Adebayo, who's the point center for the Miami Heat. Now, in the previous series, when Bam was driving to the basket and dunking all over Boston, he looked like he was way larger than everybody else. But in this series, that's not the case. Oh, and by the way, LeBron also plays with AD, who's 6'10" and had 38 points, and Dwight Howard, who's a physical specimen and has always been chiseled his entire career. So if this was a fight, they're in two different weight classes. There's a reason why you never see Mike Tyson fight Floyd. They're in different weight classes, Jacoby.
That's a really good point. And using a boxing analogy, when you look at the tail of the tape, when you size up Bam Adebayo, who is the center for the Heat, and LeBron James, they're exactly the same size, Jalen. Look at those numbers. They're the exact same size. And I was watching this game, and listen, I think Eric Spoelstra has proven himself to be one of the top, if not the top coach in the NBA. But I was watching some of the lineups he put out there, and I was like, what is Eric Spoelstra doing? Look at this one image from game one. This one singular image really tells the story about the difference in size between these two teams. Anthony Davis with a wide open layup. Look at that. That is Crowder is the biggest person on the floor for the Heat. Solomon Hill's trying to check LeBron. Iguodala's getting pushed around by AD. Like, this is a thing. When it comes down to something that you said to me earlier, it helps when you're bigger when you play basketball. It just helps. It just really helps to be closer to the basket when you play the game of basketball. We can talk about all the X's and O's. We can break down how they play the pick and rolls and the zone defense. But at the end of the day, it's a lot easier to play the game of basketball when you are bigger and stronger than the other team. And that is what we saw in game one. Jalen, what sort of tweaks do you expect Eric Spoelstra to do to try to combat this in game two?
Here's a tweak that the Miami Heat can do. Besides Kendrick Nunn, he's going to get quality minutes, and I think he'll be a difference maker for Goran Dragic. But they need some help inside. So let's go back into the Wave Machine, Time Machine, and bring back Shaq when they won a championship, along with Alonzo Mourning, Chris Bosh, a member of the Big Three. That's the interior support they're going to need if they're going to find a way to win this series.
Jalen, I'm not going to say it's impossible for the Miami Heat to win this series. Oh, wait, I am going to say it. If Goran Dragic doesn't play, it's impossible for the Miami Heat to win this series. Now, I predicted Lakers in five. My question for you, and I can't even believe I'm asking this about the NBA Finals after one game. Can the Heat win another game in this series? Win a game in this series, I should say.
I initially said Lakers in six, and I hate this for the Miami Heat because they outperformed expectations. The Milwaukee Bucks should be here. Maybe the Celtics. The Sixers changed their coach. And all of a sudden, they have a 35-year-old and Goran Dragic leading them to the NBA Finals and score. And so now we got to give the Lakers their props. They're playing against a wounded team, Jacoby. I hope the Miami Heat win the game. I'll anticipate that they will. Not many more.
Well, Jalen, the Miami Heat had a lot of trouble stopping Anthony Davis, as a lot of teams in the NBA have had. He absolutely went off. What do you expect them to do to try to slow Anthony Davis?
It's tough, Jacoby, because you want to zone up a little bit, but then all of a sudden they got great high-low game. Almost like Juwan and C. Webb used to be in Ann Arbor or with Washington. They're able to do that. And then also you can spray it to either side to the shooters. And props to Kentavious Caldwell-Pope, because people always box score watch, and when they see somebody win the championship, just assume that they just ran through the entire league. They were down 13 in the first quarter. He scored 10 points. They needed all of them for them to stay into that game and then gain momentum and then take over the way they ultimately ended up doing.
Yes, it was a really good sign for the Lakers that Frank Vogel stuck the rotation, took out LeBron when he always takes out LeBron, even though they were down 13. Then that unit without LeBron was actually the unit that started that huge run that the Lakers went on. Now, Jalen, you mentioned this earlier, but while we are in the midst of an NBA Finals, we have huge NBA news outside of the two teams combating for the Larry O'Brien Trophy, and that is that Glenn Doc Rivers, recently relieved of his duties as head coach of the Clippers, is now the head coach of the 76ers. My question for you is this. With this coaching change, do you think there will also be dramatic roster change that goes with it?
If hindsight is 2020, adding Doc to the Clippers started to box him out. Remember earlier in the year when he talked about load management and it was kind of different from what Kawhi and them were instituting, and he had to kind of go back on it? And then you hear the rumbling that come out of their locker room. And unfortunately, Lou Will decided to get some wings when he left the bubble. Montrezl Harrell dealt with some personal issues in his family. And then bottom line, you got to put it on the coaching staff that they just didn't get it done. But he deserves another opportunity. And to get that opportunity in Philadelphia, a lot of people feel like that means you either trade Joel or you trade Ben Simmons. I do not agree. This tells me that Philadelphia ownership has decided they're going to try to purchase a championship. And I'm not mad at it. When you have four players making over $100 million, I mentioned two, the other two, Tobias Harris and also Horford, usually that squad isn't going to go pay 5 years in top dollar for Doc Rivers. They did so because they're in the East. And when you're in the East, you can watch Kawhi Leonard go to Toronto and win the East and win the championship in one season. You can watch Jimmy Butler leave Philadelphia and go to Miami and get to the finals in one season. So you have to figure with those talented players that Doc Rivers, from a coaching perspective, should be able to outmatch wits with Steve Nash of the Nets. Is he going to be able to stack up with Brad Stevens in Boston? So you start to look at the sidelines as well, and then you figure, oh, Brett Brown with the Bucks. Doc Rivers is a better coach than each of them. And so now when you think of it that way, it makes sense for them to try this roster with Doc and see if he can maximize it.
Obviously, mean Coach Bud with the Bucks just made a mistake because Brett Brown is the coach that he is replacing in Philadelphia. But a lot of people look at Philadelphia and the way they got swept out of the bubble, and they think the problem is that Ben Simmons can't shoot, or that, you know, Al Horford's getting paid too much in that contract. But here is the problem with the Philadelphia 76ers. Their best player gets tired. Their best player is not in game shape, and I've seen it so many times with Joel Embiid. His performance in the first half and the second half are so different. It's just a conditioning issue. Honestly, you can pay all those hundreds of millions of dollars to all those players. You can pay Doc Rivers, whatever, $50 million, 5 years. Here's what you need to do. Get this dude a Peloton. Get this dude a treadmill. Put it in his apartment and put him on that thing. Like, that is the key to success. Let's not overthink this. You need your best player to be in shape and be able to perform in the fourth quarter. Like, we overthink everything. You need your best player to be able to have energy and to perform in the fourth quarter of games and to be in shape.
But this is also why you bring in Doc as a relationship manager too, because you want those guys to be in one accord. And as their best players and perennial all-stars, they both have distinct flaws, and all players do, except if you're a couple of people like Michael Jordan. Joel Embiid, like you mentioned, his condition is the way he is because he has a consistent history of injury. So if you can't practice, and then you can't stay in shape in the offseason, and then you can't play in every game, it's hard to be in tip-top shape. For Ben Simmons, he just doesn't attempt shots outside of the paint. And for a point guard in today's game, that's very unique. But what Doc is going to do is take the ball out of his hand sometime. In this offseason, I guarantee you they're going to get somebody else that can handle the ball. And then all of a sudden, you're going to see Ben on the baseline, dunking, triple-doubling, and then I think their roster is going to flourish based on building from within.
I also think that Elton Brand was like, Well, I can't trade Tobias Harris because every time I mention him to another GM, they just hang up on me. So who made Tobias Harris work? Oh, that's right. Doc Rivers. Maybe that's what he is thinking. Maybe he's thinking, you know what? Doc Rivers got 20 points out of this guy. Perhaps he can get 20 points out of this guy in Philadelphia. Jalen, I'm generally a pretty positive person, but some things really irk me and I go dark. It's time for me to do that. It's me. Jalen, you're rich, and I represent the common man. I'm a pretty basic person. I don't spend a lot of money on clothes. I'm not flashy. I'm not like you. I don't get expensive suits and wear jewelry and get my hair cut every 5 minutes. I'm just a regular guy, right? A blue-collar guy. That's why this bothered me so much. This has been released that the Larry O'Brien Trophy now has a bespoke custom Louis Vuitton travel case. This is just too much. This is too much. I do not need the Larry O'Brien Trophy to travel in a Louis Vuitton luggage case that is full of blue velvet and probably costs five figures. I don't need to know how the Larry O'Brien Trophy got to the game. And I understand this is just a money play that Louis Vuitton is probably paying lots of money for this kind of coverage, but this is stupid to me. I don't need the Larry O'Brien Trophy to look like it's that Nicki Minaj was checking it at the airplane going to on a flight. Like, I don't need that. I just want to know that the Larry O'Brien Trophy is there. I don't need to know that it was got there in a designer luggage case. This bothered me. You understand where I'm coming from?
It got to be in a stylish and designer case, Jacoby. It's the most important trophy in basketball. It needs to be treated like royalty. You seen Coming to America. That's something like you'll deliver to Hakeem. That's how it's got to look. A+. No doubt about it. That thing needs armed security as well.
This is overdoing it. This is way, way, way overdoing it. And you know what else is overdoing it? Your Gucci backpack that you walk every single day. You don't need that either, Jalen. There's nothing wrong with a Jan Sport. Get back to your roots, Jalen Rose. You, the Larry O'Brien Trophy, need a lesson in blue-collar life. Jalen, Kyrie Irving and Kevin Durant got together on a podcast, and wait until you hear what they had to say. You'll hear that right after this. You're watching Jalen and Jacoby. Welcome back to Jalen and Jacoby. Jalen, KD has a new podcast called The Etceteras, and he had his new teammate Kyrie Irving on as a guest. And wait to hear what Kyrie had to say about the end of games.
One thing I've always been comfortable with is, you know, I felt like I was the best option on every team I played for, you know, down the stretch. This is the first time in my career where I could look down and be like, that can make that shot too. Not that I didn't say I didn't have the trust in my teammates, but I felt like I was option. And now 10 seconds down, go ahead, K, get us a bucket. I don't care.
Now, Jalen, everyone's going to point out the fact that Kyrie and LeBron played on the same team. Kyrie has since taken to Twitter and said, we're making too much of a big deal out of this. It's nothing. Jalen, your thoughts about him saying every team he played with, he was the best option coming down the stretch.
The conviction in his voice reminded me of the legend, late great Kobe Bean Bryant, who was Kyrie's mentor. And what this reminds me of, Jacoby, is all championship rings aren't created equal for these great players. I recall... the Lakers winning 3 championships together with Shaq and Kobe, but Shaq really enjoyed that one with Miami. Made a rap song about it and everything. And then Kobe got a chance to win his 2 without Shaq. And he loved those just as much, if not more, than the other two. That's what we're experiencing right now with KD and Kyrie. KD, of course, appreciated winning 2 times Finals MVP and 2 chips with the Warriors. Same with Kyrie with Cleveland. However, they left those situations. Now they've teamed up with the Nets. In this championship, they will feel validated more than they did in their previous spots. So now they're sitting back doing the podcast. I don't have to tell you. You helped green light the first former athlete to do a podcast along with the Pod Father. This is why we create this atmosphere, because they can get relaxed. And it goes from being an interview to locker room talk. And then you start to say what you really feel. LeBron in the finals, you watching it? And as we give LeBron his flowers for winning in Cleveland, Kyrie was like, wait a minute, I'm the one made the biggest shot. I have 40 in game 6 also. He's building himself up. KD's building themselves up. to be in this position next year. So I like to call it competitive jealousy. While there's so many people that are rooting for LeBron James, and I am too because he's a social justice warrior and his duality is awesome, there will be other players in the league that feel like, you know what, that should be me. And that's what Kyrie's feeling right now. Let's see if the Nets can make it to the finals next year, because the East has been wide open the last couple of years.
There's absolutely nothing wrong with Kyrie Irving feeling like he was the best option on every team he's on. The problem is, objectively, he was not when his teammate was LeBron James. But that wasn't all they discussed on this podcast. They also discussed the new head coach, Steve Nash, and Kyrie said that he could be a head coach. KD could be a head coach. It'll be a collaboration. If you're Steve Nash and you hear this, how do you feel?
This is all about realistic expectations, because I'm sure the relationship that KD and Nash have was equal basketball minds, that one was in the front office and one was in uniform. When I saw KD on the floor doing his one leg exercise and shooting jump shots, remember, I played with Steve. I knew exactly where he got that from. And so now with him coaching him and Kyrie, I'm pretty sure he wants them to feel elevated. He wants them to feel empowered because he's a first-time head coach. He's a first-time head coach. So KD and Kyrie, who've achieved so much along with Steve Nash as a player, that's so much basketball intellect and NBA experience. They should be working as a collection. It shouldn't be teacher in front of class versus pupil. It should be a collaborative effort of what it's going to take to get us to the next level.
Jalen, there's so much going on in the NBA that it almost doesn't feel like we have a huge week four in the NFL upon us. And one of the biggest games are the Cowboys, who are hosting the Browns, who actually have a better record than the Cowboys as we sit here right now. What do you expect from this matchup in the Big D?
Here's what I expect. I remember when Deion went from the 49ers to the Cowboys, and all of a sudden they became Super Bowl champions. Now he's coaching at Jackson State, and I ordered my hat, and it literally just came like 30 minutes ago to shout the prime time. And he's not in the Cowboy Ring of Honor. Neither is Jimmy Johnson. And you know who else might not be? Dak Prescott. What does he mean, comparing him to Tony Romo? Like, did I hear those words get said? Like, that's unfair to Dak Prescott. But you know what? I got a job for Dak. You ready for this? I got a job for him. New Orleans Saints next year. I got you, Dak. I got you. Sean Payton has a background as it relates to being in Texas and with the Cowboys directly and indirectly. I got a job for you, Dak. You and Alvin Kamara getting top dollar as Drew Brees rides off into the sunset. It won't be Taysom Hill. It won't be Jameis Winston. Go get Dak, Saints.
Jalen, I love that prediction from Rostradamus. I love it. The only thing I don't like about that prediction is when it happens, we're going to have to play this clip and you'll be wearing that stupid hat. Why did you have to put on the hat? Jalen, I also want to remind you that this evening at 7 o'clock, we have game one of the WNBA Finals. It is the Storm against the Aces. Make sure you tune into that, and also make sure you stay tuned because we're talking Patrick Mahomes against the mind of Bill Belichick right after this. You're watching Jalen and Jacoby. Welcome back to Jalen and Jacoby. Jalen, there's one game on the slate in the NFL this weekend that I am keying on. I am locked in at one of the 4 o'clock games. It is the Chiefs against the Patriots. Mahomes against Cam. Bill Belichick against Bieniemy and Reed. Jalen, what do you think the key to a potential upset is in this one?
This is an opportunity for Cam to show he that OG, that dual threat quarterback, the black guy that won a championship and a Heisman Trophy in college and ushered it in for guys to follow suit. Patrick Mahomes has been one of those guys, along with Lamar Jackson and Deshaun Watson. And so for Cam, having this opportunity with the Patriots to reinvent himself, if he can go out and play well and they can upend the Chiefs and Bill Belichick and his staff can create a defensive scheme to slow down Patrick Mahomes, this is going to catapult their football team and, more importantly, catapult Cam, because this offseason, somebody's going to have to give him a check. Somebody's going to have to give Cam a check. These are the type of signature games that can help that go a long way.
Let's not forget that the Patriots and Cam Newton were 1 yard away, 1 yard away from being the Seahawks. And what Bill Belichick needs to do to Mahomes is what Mahomes does to the opposing defense. They have so many different actions and fakes and counters that the defense is on their heels, not knowing where they're coming from and what they're doing. That's exactly what Bill Belichick needs to dial up for Mahomes with different coverages, because we know what happens when you blitz Mahomes. It does not end well. Look forward to watching that and all of the other games in the NFL and the NBA Finals and the WNBA Finals. There'll be so much to discuss when we come back on Monday at 2 o'clock on ESPN. Make sure you subscribe to our podcast and rate and review it. We'll be back on Monday. We always have exclusive content for the podcast, and today we have ASAP Ferg. Floor Seats 2 out now, joining the program. Thank you so much for taking the time to join us.
What's good, man? What's popping, y'all? Right.
I have to start this by telling a very brief story about ASAP Ferg's influence on this show. I first heard you on Kissing Pink, and I was like, who is this dude? What is this verse? This is like anything I've ever heard before. I love this dude. And then when Shabba Ranks came out, I was on it so early. I was like, Jalen, we were in a hotel room in Vegas. I was like, Jalen, you got to hear this track, Shabba Ranks, because we're old, so we're big Shabba Ranks fans. So I played that track. Jalen, no lie, made me play it 7 times in a row. Like, after the 5th time he played it, I was like, dog, we're not listening to this song again. He made me play it 7 times in a row. It's so nice to have you on the show. We are big fans of yours.
Likewise, man. I appreciate y'all. I took it to the classic Shabba Ranks. That's what I'm talking about. Three ones.
So those are some of the old tracks, but right now you have Floor Seats 2 out right now. Tell us about the Floor Seats concept. Why do you call your mixtape in this album Floor Seats?
I call it Floor Seats because it's like, you know, during this time of the pandemic, we're not able to go to basketball games. We're not able to really go out like that. Things ain't open back up. So it's like I miss going out to the basketball game, sitting floor seats, LeBron giving me the head nod. I'm seeing, Jaylen Brown doing his thing. I'm seeing all the homies. And then, like, you know, the excitement around it, you know, the intermission when you go back to, you know, the Billboard Lounge. It used to be at Barclays Center. I think it's a 40/40 Lounge now. Going there and, you know, bumping into 50 Cent or whoever the case may be. So I just wanted to bring that vibe to the people, since they can't go to the basketball games and experience have the floor seats experience. I wanted to provide that to them.
I'm glad you brought up Curtis 50 Cent Jackson, because they got to get you on Power. You'll be a dope character on that show. No question about it. That's my favorite one on TV.
Hey, listen, I told 50 I'd be down, but nobody can murk me. That's it.
That's why you haven't been on.
I ain't trying to get murked.
Exactly.
I ain't trying to get murked.
He like the Kanan got killed, anybody can go. You know that's how he feel. But how about so many high profile artists on this project with you? Diddy, Lil Wayne, Nicki Minaj. Do you feel a level of pressure of working with such high profile artists?
No, actually I don't. I don't, because I know that I'm great at what I do. I got something to offer. So it's more of like an energy transferring thing. Like, you know, they want to work with me because I have a certain energy, and, you know, I want to work with them because they have a certain energy, and it's both respected on both ends. What I do love to do is push one another, though. Like, you know, I don't care if you're the biggest artist or whoever, you know, if I think that something can be said a different way, or like, you know, we could go a little harder, I'll tell you, because I feel like I'll be doing myself a disservice and doing that artist a disservice of not letting them know the truth. And I would expect for them to do the same thing with me. Like, you know, when I work with Wayne, you know, and he brought them bars, I was like, yes, he came with the bars, you know what I'm saying? When I work with Nicki and we was kind of like in the booth together sparring, we was like, you know, going back and forth, doing the back and forth thing. And I'm like, she's like thinking of her lyrics, and I'm like coming up with lyrics. She's like, nah, don't do that. I think about my own lyrics. Don't think, you know what I'm saying? So it's a fun and competitive, and I feel like we metal sharpens metal, swords sharpens swords, when it comes down to great artists. It's more of that type of relationship and thing. So it's not really any pressure. We just both want to create something dope.
You know, there was so much drama and news about your relationship with the ASAP crew, and you've addressed it on the song Big ASAP. Why did you feel like it was necessary to express yourself on a track like that about this?
I felt it was necessary to express myself about the whole ASAP thing because fans kept asking me about it, and, you know, ASAP came up together, and we built this empire together. We changed the world together. We made our marks together. So I felt it was only right for people who didn't have a clear understanding of what was going on, let them know what was going on. Sure.
On this album, you have Marilyn Manson. I see your hair color as a Detroit fan, the same Dennis Rodman kind of look. What kind of influence has the Worm had on you?
You said what type of influence who had on me?
Dennis Rodman. His nickname is The Worm, amongst other things.
Oh, The Worm. You know, I'm young, so I seen Dennis Rodman. I looked at him like a cartoon character, like somebody that you just could never, he just super famous. He had all of these tattoos and had all these different color hair. He was super charismatic, and he was a character. Like, almost like, then you seen him like on wrestling. He was like a wrestler one time. And all of these commercials and things like that, doing all these crazy appearances. So he definitely had a branding impact on me. You know, even going back to studying what he did now. Some would consider it maybe trolling, because I definitely feel like he was trolling people even back then. he just knew the power of media. And he used it to his advantage, and I definitely benefited from him in that way.
So I want to ask you a question about the floor seats experience, because I've only sat on the floor seats one time because of my rich and famous friend Jalen Rose. But one thing about the experience that bothered me is I felt like everyone was watching me, and I felt like everyone was counting my drinks. I felt like I could only have like 3 cocktails during the game because I had so many eyes on me. Do you feel that people are watching you in the floor seats and you can't drink as much as you want to?
I definitely thought about that before. What if I get so drunk that I just do something stupid and mess up the game? Yo, they gotta monitor these drinks. Like, how they just gonna give you unlimited drinks? You might be screaming at the players and the coaches or some shit. Like, you might be tripping, spill your drink on the floor, and then one of the players slip and hit their head or something. Like, come on,
What about if a player from another team make a shot and they look at you and be like, sit down?
Right, exactly. All of that. Or what if I just get up and start playing ball? Like, I'm one of them. Like, I'm just ready to be a part of the A.
I wanted to order shots, and I was like, we can't do shots. Everyone's looking at us. Like, we had to, go to the back.
Like, what if
shots?
I just get up and just start, streaking through the court? No, I'm just playing.
Speaking of the NBA, the finals are happening right now. The Los Angeles Lakers are up 1-0. The Heat are decimated with injury. Goran Dragic, I don't think he's going to play. Bam Adebayo is dealing with a shoulder injury. Do you feel like the Miami Heat have a chance in this series?
No. No. Lakers all day. You know, I'm bi-coastal now. I'm LA and New York, so I'm with the Lakers right now. You know what I'm saying?
So when you
JaVale McGee, too. JaVale McGee is on my album, too. I got JaVale McGee talking his swag
talk.
Oh,
really? That's dope. What you got him doing?
I got different basketball players giving me shout outs. Like, I got Jaylen Brown. Shout out to Jaylen Brown. I got Damian Lillard giving me shout outs. And JaVale McGee was one of the dudes. Because we got him to actually work on some music together. Because he does beats and all of that. I didn't even know he was nice with beats. He did placements for Young Thug and different artists. So, you know, when I started working on my album, we was in a studio together. I was playing him different stuff, and I'm like, yo, I need a drop. So he gave me a few drops and stuff like that for the album. It was sick.
That's dope. One of the artists that I was surprised to see that you were working with was Marilyn Manson. What is it like being in the same room as Marilyn Manson?
It's crazy. He does all of the crazy things and says all of the crazy stuff you expect him to say. He's like a true rock star. When he first came, I'm like, damn, I don't know what to expect. I don't know what this dude is going to be wearing. I don't know how he's going to act. Like, he's like a wild card. So he had like all black on. He had this long black leather coat on. His nails was painted black. His like pants was painted black. He had like this silk scarf on with glitter all over him with these black glasses on. He just had glitter all over him. And like trails of glitter was following him as he walked into the studio room.
Jalen's had glitter all over him before, but he didn't put it on himself.
No, it's because I was gently giving the patrons that were working really hard for it $20 bills in their garter. That's what I was doing, Jacoby, like a gentleman should do.
Okay, I understand what was going on.
And I'm
on.
Happy those establishments are back open. They're essential workers, ASAP, as far as I'm concerned. Do you consider adult entertainment essential? Now, you mentioned being bi-coastal. One of the squads I assume you represent and you talked about is the Lakers. Now, what about the Knicks? And what is it like being a fan of that squad?
I love the Knicks. I mean, I'm always going to – I created the song East Coast for the Knicks. You know what I'm saying? I wanted to see us, you know, thrive.
Oh, that was dope.
Thank you. I wanted to see us thrive and win some games. And I'm always supportive. I'm always going to be supportive of the Knicks and always try to push my team to do the best they can. So shout out to the Knicks.
So
you hear that, Jacoby? You hear that, Jacoby? See, that's how I feel about my Detroit Lions. David Jacoby, he's something that he calls a Die Easy fan. He just jumps bandwagons. He'll like the Heat today. He'll like the Patriots tomorrow. What do you think about our guy, David Jacoby, who's been bi-coastal, but he calls himself a Die Easy fan when we die hard and he laugh at the Knicks and he laugh at the Lions?
Man, I guess it's where you at. It's not where you from, it's where you at.
Exactly. Thank you, Ferg. So, I mean, I've been a fan of yours since that verse on Kissing Pink that I mentioned earlier. And one of the rappers that you remind me of, not because you sound like this person, but because there is no father to your style. You don't know what to expect. And that person that you remind me of is Old Dirty Bastard. Just because it's just so wild. Your flow is different on every single song. You're singing on one song. You're going hard on another song.
Brooklyn.
What do you think about that comparison between you and Old Dirty Bastard?
You done did your homework. You done been doing your homework, watching a few interviews. Okay. Yeah, of course. Like, I love Old Dirty Bastard. I didn't know if I could say bastard, but yeah, I love his style because I would hear stories about him going in the studio with Mariah Carey, and like he didn't even get invited to the studio. He'd just walk in on her session and jump in the booth and then do some shit and then leave. And then it'll be like the biggest record ever. So that type of free spirit and that type of love that people have for him to allow him to be himself is something I definitely resonate with that, because I'm myself wherever I go. You know what I'm saying? Like, I'm from Harlem, New York, a place where it's super tough. I got green hair. You know, I got painted nails. I'm turning up. You know, I'm myself. So, yeah. And that's why I embrace people like Marilyn Manson, people like Dennis Rodman, because they was uniquely themselves. They was unicorns. And I think that's what made them legendary.
Well, as you start to become adult, I say this to young people all of the time. The hardest thing about being happy is staying true to yourself. We appreciate you doing that in the booth, outside of the booth, and the way you represent yourself and where you from to the fullest. We're huge fans. One call away. We would love to have you on anytime.
Appreciate y'all. Love back to y'all, man.
Hey, yo, floor seats
when,
too.
When we're able to go back to the game, we all sit in floor seats on Jalen's dime.
I can make it happen.
We all gonna sit together, and we all gonna sip some Hennessy, and we gonna get turned up.
Done.
And we all gonna join the game. That's what we gonna do.
Done. Except the end. Appreciate the love.
All right, man.
Salute.
Peace.
All right, love.
You already know, G.
Sure. Yep. I'll do the pot open.
That was extremely dope. That was extremely dope.
You ready, Jay? We're just going to skip on a cool check-in. He is Jalen Anthony Rose.
What up, Dow?
I'm David Jacoby.
And on the cool check-in.
Together with Jalen and Jacoby, what is it that we do?
We give the people what they want.
Joining us later on in the podcast, we have ASAP Ferg. But before that, we have to get to this. I want to thank ASAP Ferg for coming through and blessing us with his time. Make sure you go get Floor Seats 2 right now and all of ASAP's Ferg work. If you are not familiar, he has something that Jalen Rose likes to call
bars.
We'll be back on Monday. Why is that?
We're not done. We're not done. We're not done. All right.